Hot tip here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm hanging out with you until then, Chris Thomas Turtle, until 7:30. And to preview that matchup and everything going on around the association, let's welcome in our good buddy Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation and Front Office Show. Trevor, two banged up squads going at it tonight. Who is out for the Lakers, and who should we expect to see more of with those players being out?
Yeah, so the Lakers have had a ton of players out. They've been absolutely crushed by injuries all season long. This will be their sixth game of their first 10, playing with at least two of their top three players out. So no LeBron James for this one, no Austin Reeves. LeBron is yet to play this season. In addition to that, they're also going to be missing Gabe Vincent. He'll be out of action. Maxi Kleba is going to be returning for this one. But as I said, the Lakers, they're going to be pretty shorthanded. Their rookie, Adu Thiro, has not made an appearance yet. He's still dealing with a knee issue, but should be along shortly. But so it'll be a very shorthanded Lakers side, just as it's going to be a shorthanded Hawks side as well.
When do we expect LeBron to make his debut?
Yeah, so we're right now targeting sometime around the 18th. This will be after the Lakers. This is their first game of a five-game road trip. And so we know he won't play for any of the games on this road trip. The first game back after that will be November 18th against the Utah Jazz. That's a possible return date. They do have a little bit of a break right after that. They have four days off before they play again on the 23rd. So I do wonder if they'll use that time to get him back into practice and then target the 23rd. But the 18th will be the earliest that he can come back. So sometime middle of this month, we're expecting to see LeBron back in action. Whether the exact date has not been set yet, though.
We know the whole offseason was about Luka and his body transformation. Well, how's he done as the lead dog so far?
Yeah, Luka's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he is averaging 40 points a game. He is moving the basketball, picking up assists, getting rebounds, which has been absolutely critical with how thin the Lakers have been in terms of who's been available. But Luka has played in five games, 40, 11, and 9 right now, almost averaging a triple-double, scoring the ball seemingly at will. And this is without even particularly shooting well from behind the arc by his standards, shooting just 31% from three, and I'm rounding up a little bit in order to get there. So I do think there are even better days ahead for Luka. Will he always have this kind of shot volume once LeBron's there and Austin Reeves is there? Probably not. But right now, he is really stepping up in a big, big way and scoring the basketball, operating extremely well out of the pick and roll, and starting to develop a real connection with DeAndre Ayton, the Lakers' new center this season.
Now that he has some time under his belt, how do you feel like J.J. Redick is evolving as a coach?
J.J. Redick is doing a great job finding ways to win games. That's what we've seen with so many players out injured all season long already. They're still 7-2, and a lot of that is they are adapting to their opponents on the fly and finding ways to win games. They played three games in a row against the fastest paced teams in the NBA, the Grizzlies, the Blazers, certainly the Miami Heat are flying up and down the floor, and they had to adjust to that. And then playing one of the slowest paced teams last game in the San Antonio Spurs, adjusting to that, the challenges that Victor Wembanyama creates. So the Lakers have done a really nice job being flexible with whatever personnel they actually have available to suit up in a game and still finding ways to get the job done. And that's a big credit to J.J. Redick. I can also say the vibes around this team are extremely positive. These guys are enjoying playing basketball together. And once again, you got to give a lot of credit to the coaching staff there.
Well, we know LeBron James is certainly a big vibes guy. There were some rumors in the offseason that he may want to finish his career elsewhere. What is the latest on that front? Has his camp made anything known to y'all as insiders or the organization that he has intentions of playing basketball anywhere outside of Los Angeles?
No, there's been no clarity on that. LeBron just wants, from everything we understand, he just wants the ability to win right now. And obviously there is not much of a future. He can't win 3 years from now. He needs to win right now. This could be his last season. We don't know. He will not be under contract this coming summer. The Lakers could offer him a new contract. Maybe they won't. He could sign a new contract or sign somewhere else. There's all kinds of options available this summer. So the team, LeBron, they want to play this out, see how things go from here, and ideally make the most of it. I know from within the Lakers, they want to win right now with LeBron and with Luka. That is their goal. It's not to wait until the future. The ideal scenario is this works out and they have the pieces to go make some moves mid-season and then really put the team over the top and make a real run this year. That's the hope. For LeBron, if he feels like the best opportunity is to win, is to stay with the Lakers, that I think he will do that. But we have to see how the season plays out. So far, he seems pretty thrilled on the sidelines, pretty happy. He was cheering on DeAndre Ayton last game. Afterwards, he was super excited about him. I'd have to imagine, based on what he's been seeing out there on the floor, the kind of fun these guys have been having, that LeBron's pretty eager to get out there and play with this team.
We're talking all things NBA and Hawks Lakers tonight right here on 92.9 The Game, 7:30 pregame. Around the NBA, wanted to touch on a bunch of other stuff with you as well, Trevor. Wemby, as you mentioned, is put the league on notice. The only thing I think we can question is this sustainable? Is his frame, is his body type something that we can expect to hang on for 82 games?
Yeah, injuries are always going to be a factor when we're looking at Victor Wembanyama. You know, there's so many times when you see him out there on the floor, you're almost expecting him to I don't know, do the Imperial Walker thing in Star Wars and kind of tip over or something. But he is an absolute force of nature when he's out there and he's healthy. He's really developed the physical side of his game this season. He's getting into the paint. He's taking contact. He can still rise up and shoot over everybody. But I thought he left a lot of teams off the hook last year with the volume of three-point shots that he took. He has dropped that down significantly. He's doing a lot more damage in the paint. He's a lock to win Defensive Player of the Year as long as he's healthy. He may even be in the MVP race, depending on how the Spurs season goes. We could even argue he could be in the Most Improved Player race. He's absolutely phenomenal, and hopefully he can stay healthy. But that seems to be the only thing that could potentially slow him down at this point.
Are you in the camp that OKC is a full notch above any other team in the NBA?
Yes. Yeah, OKC, I mean, the way they're playing, like, I've been talking about how injured the Lakers are. The Hawks are certainly very injured right now as well. The Thunder are too, and they just keep winning. I mean, they've been without Jalen Williams, and they're finding ways to get the job done. Alex Caruso has missed some games, and they're finding guys at the end of their bench. A.J. Mitchell has been a revelation for them this season, and he's stepping up into this bigger role, and it's like suddenly they found another guy who just makes professional plays all game long, scores the basketball, and the Thunder have even more depth than ever before. So this team is right now at the cream of the crop in the NBA. They're going to be very difficult to stop, and right now they have to be the favorites to go back-to-back and win another championship.
We talk about sustainability. I know this next question is going to make my producer Josh very happy because he is a native of the area. So Cade Cunningham, he's also having an otherworldly season right now. Again, I'll ask you, do you feel like the young and up-and-coming Piston squad can sustain this level of success for a season? Are they ready to have that kind of situation?
Yeah, I mean, as we speak right now, they are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. The Chicago Bulls lost to the Bucks, and so now the Detroit Pistons are the number one seed in the East. I don't know that they'll finish number one on the season, but I do think the success they've had is sustainable. They're a very, very good team. Now, they've had some, you know, it hasn't been the most difficult schedule when you look at their last few games, but nonetheless, I think this is a truly high-quality team. Cade Cunningham is absolutely fantastic. I think Cade Cunningham should be in the same conversations that Anthony Edwards is in when we talk about superstars in this league. He is that good. He's incredibly talented. He's so versatile with his game. And I do think he's going to have this Piston squad playing extremely well all season long. They are a force to be reckoned with. And I can't wait for Jaden Ivey to get back. He is so much fun with his athleticism, his ability to attack the basket. We have to remember he's been out. So they're not even at full strength right now. I think the Pistons are a team on the rise, and they're going to be a real challenge for anybody to deal with in the playoffs this year.
The Milwaukee Bucks are one of the hardest teams for me to figure out this season. They're averaging almost 121 points a game. Giannis, Herculean, as always. But where do you have them right now in terms of legitimate contenders? I know it's early in the season, but again, just trying to forecast out here a little bit. With all the changes they made in the offseason, are you surprised they're still playing as well as they are?
I'm not surprised because that's, you know, Giannis is that good. I think Miles Turner has filled in nicely with them. He's given them some other elements beyond just the floor spacing that Brook Lopez gave them. He had a 23-point game in his last outing. So I'm not surprised that the Bucks are good. And part of that is Giannis is just putting up otherworldly numbers right now. I do think to be a true threat, they're going to need to figure out the point guard situation and what exactly that's going to look like. Can Ryan Rollins be that guy? Do they need to go get somebody? The Kevin Porter Jr. injury certainly hurts them there. But they are one of a few teams in the NBA that right now seems to be lacking at the point guard position. But again, Ryan Rollins, I'm high on him. He could wind up being the answer, and if he can give them consistency, they're going to be very tough to deal with. But a lot of it, though, is really credit to Giannis, how well he's played, and the fact that, frankly, he's producing at an MVP level right now. That is certainly powering this Bucks team.
Philadelphia 76ers appeared to have struck gold. Is the Joel Embiid era over? Are these two young guys in Maxey and Edgecombe going to take over that roster?
Yeah, I think they already are. And if we gave truth serum to the Philadelphia 76ers, if they could just erase the contracts of Joel Embiid and Paul George and just move forward with the kids, I would have to imagine they would jump at the opportunity to do that. I hope Joel Embiid can get back and be healthy and be what he once was. And the same with Paul George, but I don't have a lot of faith that that's actually going to happen. In the meantime, the 76ers have found these young talent. VJ Edgecombe has been phenomenal for them this season. He's in the rookie of the year race right there with Cooper Flagg. Dylan Harper, unfortunately, who just got injured. Cedric Coward, who's been excellent for Memphis. They've got some interesting young talent in the NBA, but you're bringing back Jared McCain as well to the 76ers. Tyrese Maxey, been playing a ton of minutes, but he's been lighting up the NBA. They've got this young backcourt that is ready to take these next steps forward. And my fear for the 76ers is that the contracts of Joel Embiid and Paul George, it's a lot of money, it's $100 million sitting on their books, is going to hold them back and prevent them from taking those next steps forward. But it's a good problem to have in that they've got young talent. They can pivot towards those guys gradually as we move along and hopefully get something out of Embiid come playoff time. Same thing with Paul George. But right now, they're much better than they were last season, and that's thanks to this young backcourt that they've got.
Before I let you go, just a couple of weeks ago, right around the last time we spoke, Trevor, as we're wrapping up with Trevor Lane, make sure you check him out at Front Office Show as well as Lakers Nation. The NBA was on fire with scandal in terms of betting, in terms of misallocation of funds and setting up secret accounts to pay stars in the league. Over the last couple of weeks, it seems to have died down as the season has sort of gotten into the swing of things. Do you expect an uptick in that again, or do you think the NBA is just trying to do everything within its power to handle all that stuff behind closed doors?
Well, I hope there's not an uptick in that, because it would probably take something new coming out right now. Will we get developments on those stories? Sure. And that will create little spikes of interest in what's going on there. But I think part of what's happened is the basketball that we've seen on the court has been a ton of fun this season. There are always things to complain about and quibble over, and people say there's too many whistles and things of that nature. That's fine. The NBA will always be a work in progress. There will always be things to point to and say this needs to get better. But overall, the basketball that we've seen this season has been absolutely amazing. There have been high-scoring games. There have been incredible performances. And I think that is stealing some of the spotlight away from, and rightfully so, some of those off-court situations. So hopefully that continues to be the case. We've not heard the end of those situations. Adam Silver, I've said it a bunch of times, needs to get this situation right, whether it's the Kawhi Leonard stuff, whether it's the betting stuff, all of it. He has to find his way through this in the exact correct way to not only handle these situations properly, but try to prevent this from happening again in the future. In the meantime, they got to just keep playing good basketball out there on the court, keep creating exciting narratives for fans to latch onto, and keep the spotlight where it should be, and that's on the floor.
Trevor, great stuff. Appreciate it as always. We'll chat soon.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.